How many verses did they say Brooklyn memorized? 90? 92. All right, we're going to start with David, and we're going to work our way around one verse out of each other. And Jesus wept is not one of them. And you can't repeat the same verse somebody else did. It's bad to sit on this side. Nah. I'm glad our youngins, I mean, I enjoy the devotional part of it. I enjoy the Bible teaching part of it. But to hide the Word of God in their heart, I appreciate this, them working hard on that. And let's encourage them. I was thinking as we sit there, you know, act like, and I've already heard the consensus of the night is everybody's tired. And I know it's just those days, you know. But listen, a lot of people graduating, walking across stages, and I don't make light of any of that. I mean, accomplishments, and we're going to have seniors that will be graduating from high school. We've got some folks graduating from college. I'm not making light of any of that. But we need to encourage our youngins that this is what is really, really important. It's not how many math problems they can do, and they need to learn math. I know that to survive in this world. But it'd be a shame that our youngins would know more about the things of this world than they do about this book. So I want to encourage you, moms and dads, grandma and grandpas, to see the importance of what we're trying to do and get behind them, encourage them. Just try to, you know, push this thing on a little bit and encourage them to get in here and do something for the Lord. They're not going to be any more excited than what we are. They're not going to be more into this than what we are. And we need to blaze that trail and just get in there and think, you know, I know things aren't pretty in these days, but boy, I'm telling you, if you just quit looking at yourself, quit looking at this world and get our eyes back into the Word of God and the things of God, things get a lot brighter, I promise you that. So I want to encourage you to do that. So if you get a chance, go by. I appreciate Brother Terry and Miss Mary. They're not in here, but they've been driving the bus on Wednesday night. And just so some of these youngins could come, they had a desire for them to be here, and I appreciate that. So let's try over the next several weeks as we have a little bit of a break, maybe as we hopefully start back up again in the fall, to encourage to grow this thing a little bit more, to put a little bit more into it, to invest in it, and just see what the Lord will do there. All right, Genesis chapter 3 this evening. We will continue our study. Genesis chapter 3 this evening. Let's turn there, if you will. I was thinking today as I was pondering over some things, and boy, I can't wait till Sunday if the Lord lets me preach what I hope He lets me preach. God has just opened some things into my heart, and I'm excited about preaching them Sunday. And but here, as we look at Genesis chapter 3, I think, well, what a privilege. You know, how many times we've thought about Genesis chapter 3, and just to think about what we've seen thus far. What a beautiful picture of who God Himself is here in Genesis. Just Genesis chapter 3 alone. If you just had Genesis chapter 3, and I can't even remember her first name. I've mentioned her before. Her last name was Rose. The thought of if you could just have one part of the Bible. You know, we're blessed, and we are looking at the Word of God on Sunday evenings. We're blessed to have this book. Again, I've got more Bibles laying around. I got one in every car. I've got them laying all over the house. I've got them in my office. I got them on my phone. I got them on my computer. We're so blessed to have the Word of God. But there's places today even that they do not have what we have. And to have a portion of the Scriptures is so wonderful to them to be able to hold it, to read it. And, I wish we could get back to that in our day as far as being excited about having it. But if you could just have one part of the Bible, what would you want? And this isn't Burger King, of course. You're not going to get it your way. But, you know, if you just had Genesis 3, you think, well, what's that Old Testament? You know, you can't get nothing out of the Old Testament. Boy, you just don't see much if that's all you can see. But Genesis chapter 3 alone. A great picture of who God is, and we looked at who Satan is. Again, you're looking at your two main characters through the Bible, God and Satan. Then we looked at sin there for a couple Wednesday nights and what sin is. And again, I want to make sure we understand that sin. What is sin? Sin is simply disobedience. Sin is not the beer can. That's the results of sin. Sin is not immorality. That is the results of sin. We need to understand that sin is simply telling God that I don't care or you don't care what God says. You're going to do what you want to do. And people don't look at it that much way anymore, but it's still the truth. And that's what I want to try my best to stay to, is the truth. And then we started looking the last Wednesday night that we were gathered. I appreciate Brother Patrick preaching for us this past Wednesday night while we were gone. But we looked at death. And I know that's not an exciting thing to think about. I'll share with you now. Got a phone call today from a great friend of mine. I love him to death. My heart breaks for him today. And that's Brother Cofty. He got word this morning that his son, 54, 55 years old, died this morning of a heart attack. Left five children down in somewhere in Alabama. I don't remember exactly where. But Brother Cofty was so devastated, which I can't even begin to imagine. But boy, we got to rejoicing in the fact that, you know, when this physical death has gone through its process, that there's still life, amen, for those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And so we looked at last week, we looked at death. And so let's stand together. Let's read a little bit here in Genesis chapter 3, just to get our mindset of what we're looking at. And the reason we can see this is what takes place again. God commands something in Genesis chapter 2. God tells Adam and Eve, if they do something, this is what He will do. And He tells them if they take of that fruit, and again, it's not about the fruit, it's about obedience or disobedience. When they disobeyed God, God says, you're going to die. And they instantly, I know, now you think about it, we were with Brother Sam Bellini Sunday. He preached a great message Sunday morning on backsliding. And then Sunday night, he was in Genesis chapter 3, and you know, he talks about that death, and I didn't get to be there Sunday night. I was not feeling well, but my family went, and but they were telling me what he was preaching on. I thought, boy, it just runs right what we're looking at. And think about when God told Adam that you're going to surely die. Did he? Did he die that moment when they took of that fruit, when they disobeyed? Well, physically, he lived to be, what, 900 and some years? But at that moment, he died. Greater than the physical death, because most people today in churches are so consumed with the death of the physical body, when we should be more concerned about the death of what really I am and what really you are, and that's the soul. That moment. And we're going to see this thought. We looked at the first death, which is the physical side of it. That is that. And to be honest with you, that's really not true, because you were born dead. You really were, because of Adam. But then there's a physical death. But there's a phrase only found in the book of Revelations. Four times, I think it is, in the book of Revelations, you find this phrase, and it's called the second death. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. And that's what we need to understand more of tonight than anything else, is the thought that there's going to be people, maybe you tonight, maybe you, you're going to experience a first death, but you might experience a second death. Oh, preacher, not so. We're here on a Wednesday night. I'm afraid a lot of people don't really understand what it means to trust in the Lord. It's not a prayer. It's not a baptism. It's not who I am or what I am. It's about being born again. But here in Genesis chapter 3, let's look, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. What a lie. Anybody remember what I preached a week ago Sunday? Everybody's like, no. I preached about redemption. Preached about that great Redeemer. And talked about how even Boaz, what a picture of Christ, acknowledged the fact that there was one that was a closer kinsman than he was to Naomi. They met at the gate that day. Says, you want to buy it? Got some land. You want to redeem it? It can be yours. All that Naomi has, it can be yours. He says, oh yeah, I want that. Then Boaz says, but when you take the land and take her possessions, you got to take her, you got to take Naomi, you got to take Ruth. He says, made that great statement. I hope you remember it. He said, I cannot. Not that he would not, but he cannot. And that's where the world is. That's what Satan wants you to believe, is this world is going to get you through. And when it all comes down, be just what Satan says there. Verse 4, ye shall not surely die. Tonight, we're dying physically, and you might be dying tonight spiritually. So let's pray. We'll let you be seated. Father, we love you. We thank you again, God, for your blessings. Lord, we pray, God, once again, God, your hand upon us. I pray, God, for your wisdom. God, Lord, I pray again, God, you stir my heart, stir the heart of your people. God, in these days, God, we sure need a reviving. God, we need, God, we need something, God, Lord, it'll break, God, the cycle. God, it'll break this, God, attitude of our day, Lord. I pray, God, that you burn some hearts tonight, God. Let them see, Lord, what we were looking at here tonight, Lord, through your precious word. And God, we'll pray, God, and ask you, Lord, God, put your hand upon it and bless it. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You'll be seated this evening. Now, we looked, and we won't take time because of time this evening, but we looked over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 is one of those verses that you should memorize, or you should know how to get to it or mark it when conversations come up about people. People need to realize that you're not just flesh and bones, that there's a trinity in man. We're made after the image of God, and that God is a trinity, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we know tonight, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that we as individuals tonight, you sitting here this evening, you and I are a trinity. We're made up of a spirit, a soul, and a body. And again, we worry way too much about the body. Again, you ought to take care of your body. I'm not making light of that. As per se, because why? Because this is the vessel that God has given you to be used in this day. If you don't take care of it, guess what? It's the only one you got on this side of eternity, man. I'm glad there's a new one coming, but it's better take the best care you can, the one you got. And even when you take the best care of it, it still will fail you, I promise you that. But we're looking at death, and what is that death again? It's just, again, we look at the death of the body. Again, what does the body do? The body dies, and what does it do? It goes back to the ground, and it is corrupt. It's going to die. The worms are going to eat you. Tonight, you're nothing but worm food. That's encouraging, isn't it? I don't care who they are or how popular they were, how much money they had. When they die, their body is, well, your body's decaying even while you're living, but you go dig up the most important person you think there is, guess what? He's not looking too pretty, I'm telling you. I'll not mention names. I've only done one funeral in my life that I know, and I've done a bunch of funerals. I really have. State of North Carolina, you do not have to be embalmed. That's a good word. You don't have to be embalmed in the state of North Carolina. And most people do, and that's up to you, whatever you decide. We're not talking about funerals tonight, but I've only done one person's funeral in my life as a preacher that chose not to be embalmed. I was by there early that morning, maybe, to be with the family, check with them at the funeral home, came back for the viewing the next night or the same night, I don't remember, it might have been a day there. Walked in as I got here early, the guy's funeral home come, they opened up the casket, and I was thinking, whoa, I think you got the wrong guy. In the period of less than 24 hours, that body had changed so dramatically. Brother Ben, he worked over at the funeral home. He knows how that works. I could not believe they didn't have him open. They just opened him up to do a few things to get things ready for service. But I thought, wow, amazingly how quickly the body begins to fall apart. And that's what this body does. And when death, the physical death comes, again, we see, again, you're made of a trinity. When death comes, what happens to you? Well, we looked at the thought of the flesh. What happens to it? It goes back to the ground. Then we looked at the spirit. Who's the spirit belong to? Well, the spirit belongs to God. God breathed into Adam that life, and there's a spirit in every one of us, and that belongs to God. And guess what? Saved or lost, when you die, that spirit goes back to where who belongs to, and that's the Lord. And then the last person that we want to look at is that thought of what's really important, and I hope you get that this evening, is the soul. The soul is what we need to worry about, not just your soul tonight, and that's the main part that you should worry about, I guess, but we want to talk about the souls of people. We saw all kinds of youngins up here tonight. We saw tall ones. We saw short ones. We saw some that might not be as clean as others. We saw some that were a little maybe smarter than the others or could do this more than the others, but guess what? They have something in common. Every one of them has a soul, and that's what we as a child of God, that's what God's concerned about. I really believe tonight when you study scriptures, you don't see much talked about, and we know that death is real, the physical aspect of death, but when you look at what God has to talk about, he's more concerned about the soul than he is the body and the spirit, because it takes care of itself. So we're going to look tonight a little bit again when death happens. It's just a passing. The great preacher of old, he said, death, the faithful servant of God. For us that are saved, when death comes, our body goes to the ground, our spirit goes back to God. What happens to our soul? Our soul will be with the Lord. To the lost person, if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, boy, I'm going to hit that thought of lost. How many of you ever used the word lost? I was lost, but now I'm found. Anybody ever use the word lost? What does that mean? We use it a lot, but what does it really mean? I have a truck driver friend at our first church. He says you're never lost until you run out of gas. Which, as long as you had gas, you're never lost. But lost. I'll say more about it, but lost. What does it mean? So, again, for a person that's not saved this evening, when they die, their body goes to the grave, just like a saved person does. Their spirit goes back to God, just like a saved person does. But what about their soul? That's what we're concerned about tonight. So we're going to look tonight a little bit tonight about this thought of second death. Again, what is the second death? Turn with me. We've got several places to turn tonight. Revelation chapter 21 answers the question about this second death. Guess what? I'll never experience a second death. If the Lord doesn't come back and harvest the church out of here, I will experience the first death. I will die physically. I will, again, Brother Kofty's son, 50-some years old, out working up a tree, had a massive heart attack and died today. And guess what? He wasn't the only one. There's a clock out there. It's called the death clock. I hadn't looked at it in a long, long time. It used to be like every 2-point-some seconds somebody died. And I'm sure it's at least that or probably even more than that now. Just think about how many people took their last breath while we've been here at Gospel Light Baptist Church tonight. Every 2-point-some seconds, somebody drew their last breath on this side. Where are they going to spend eternity? That's the question that we ought to have on our heart. Revelation, but here tonight, again, Revelation chapter 21, this thought of second death. What is that? And the Bible answers that question. Revelation chapter 21, look with me. Again, it's mentioned 4 times in the book of Revelation, and it's only found the wording, second death, only in the book of Revelation. Verse number 8 of Revelation chapter 21 says this, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Do you know tonight that people, and I'm getting sort of ahead of myself, look up here. I want you to see me when I say this. I had this. It's probably still on my desk back there. I got a little note that I made a note about. I wanted to try to work a sermon up that, if God would let me. Do you realize tonight, every lost person tonight hasn't experienced but one death yet? They haven't experienced a second death yet. What do you mean, preacher? And the thought that I had on my mind when I wrote that little note, you know what the best day in hell is going to be? Now, you got to think about things sometimes. We don't do much thinking anymore. There's coming a day, according to our study in the book of Revelation, is there when he's going to have death, is going to give up everybody, hell's going to give up everybody, and they're going to go to that great white throne judgment. That's the best day of hell. They're getting out for a very small second. Then they're cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. See what I'm saying? You understand that? Second death. That's what Revelation chapter 21, verse 8 says. The Bible says over in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it's appointed unto man once to die. and after this, the judgment. You have an appointment with death. It's not on the bottom of your foot. You don't have an expiration date, but you're going to die. This old body is dying as you speak. Look with me again over Matthew chapter 10. I want you to see this. We looked at it the last time, but it's one of these verses I want you to make sure you get a hold of. Matthew chapter 10. This Bible is an amazing book. Wish people would want to get back in here and see what it said. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Look with me in verse 28 this evening. It says, "And fear not them which kill the body." Boy, isn't everybody worried about that?
Oh, he's got a gun, he's got a gun, he's got a bomb. Ah, we're going to die.
That's the least of your problems for the majority of our world. When a man dies, it's appointed unto every one of us to die. 28 says, "And fear not them which kill the body." Preacher, what are we going to do about this ISIS thing? I ain't going to do nothing about them. You worried about them? I try not to be. That's not what's sin. I'll never forget, I was preaching in a nursing home one time. And boy, this is sweet to preach in nursing homes. Had a lady, she stopped me while I was preaching. She said, "Preacher," says, my brother or somebody just committed suicide. "Preacher, will he go to hell because he's committed suicide?" It's not suicide that sends people to hell. Don't fear cancer. Nobody wants it. I don't want it. No one wants you to have it. What's going to kill this body? Does it matter? Again, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So, what should we worry about tonight? Not who's going to kill somebody. All the laws of our land will never fix anything when it comes to what really matters. He says we need to fear him. Who's him? It ain't the preacher. Who is he? God. There's going to be a day of destruction, a second death. So we see here again the thought of a second death. So, look at this. Why should you tonight, if you're saved, let me give you a hope tonight for our doom and gloom us to death. Look at John. John chapter 5 this evening. Talking about death. John chapter 5, look at verse 24. "Very verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to what? Unto life." Praise God tonight. If you're saved, you're not going to experience death. "But preacher, I got cancer. Preacher, my heart's not right. Preacher, this is wrong. I got all these things." That's just the physical. Thank God that there's not going to be the second death that you'll never, never, ever have to experience. Why? Because I've passed from death unto life. So don't worry about those that can just kill the body, but him that can destroy both body and soul. Look with me. Look back over in Revelation chapter 2. Talking about this thought of death. I don't have to fear it because I've passed from death unto life. How'd you do it? Well, we'll stay here in a little bit. I didn't do it. The Lord did it. Look here in Revelation chapter 2. Look at verse number 11. Verse 11 says of chapter 2, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. See it? Shall not be, hallelujah, I'm not going to experience that. Why? I've overcome. How'd you overcome? Through the blood of the Lamb. So tonight, look up and know that your redemption is drawing nigh. Again, verse 11 says, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Praise God for that. And again, the Bible says there in Matthew 10, verse 28, that we should not fear those that just kill the body, but him that destroys body and soul. Look in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. This is the Lord here in verse 21. Verse 21 says, then said Jesus again to them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, ye cannot come. See what he says? They're going to die in their sin. That's where we need to understand tonight where people are this evening. It's not their flesh. It's not their spirit. It's their soul. The sin of their soul. So we need to not look to man, but we need to fear the Lord. Look with me in Luke chapter 12 this evening. Luke chapter 12, look with me in verse number 16. Hear the Lord speaking a parable. We're going to look at another thought here in just a moment that a lot of people call a parable, but it's not a parable. But look here in Luke chapter 12, verse number 16. Says, and he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and here there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Sounds like today, doesn't it? If you run through there and you look at all the personal pronouns of I, that's his problem. Look again, verse 18, he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That's the world's idea about your soul. Hey, soul, live it up. That's what he's saying. Verse 19, I will say to my soul. Isn't that amazing? You ever talk to yourself, preacher? A lot. I go down the road with my wife and my daughter, and I end up talking to myself because they won't talk to me. That's all right. My son had that little shirt that time. A shirt that time. I had to say it on. It says, I live in my own little world. That's all right. They like me there. The rich man said, soul. Now, who was he talking to? Himself. Who are you? Who are you? It's not the guy in the mirror, you see. Who are you? It's not your body that makes you who you are. It's not your spirit that makes you who you are. Soul. The soul is who you are. I like what the old preacher said. Your body is nothing but the mobile home that you move about in. All right, verse 19, I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. God said, verse 20, unto him, thou fool. Now, what a weighing. Man says, soul, look at all you got. Live her up. God said, fool. What was sin? Sin was saying, God, I don't care what you say. What did God say? Verse 20, he said unto him, thou fool, this night thy body? Nope. Thy spirit? Nope. Thy soul. See it? Thy soul. But God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. So thy soul shall be required of thee. Again, the first death, spirit and body. Second death, the soul is required. Again, we need to learn to fear God. Not for my spirit, not for my body, but for the soul, who I am. Now, lost. We'll look at that in just a moment, a thought, because that's what we're thinking about, this second death. Again, we saw in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, what death is, that falling, that casting away. Look with me in the book of Jude. Book of Jude. Book of Jude. We preachers sometimes try to preach hell hot, and I do, because I don't want anybody to go to hell. Let me say this tonight. Jehovah's Witnesses are somewhat right when they talk about hell. There is a place that people go. Either you're going to go to be absent with the body, be present with the Lord, you're going to either go to a place called hell. But that's not your final destination. Hell's just a holding spot until that second death. The Catholics, they have this thought of purgatory. That's nowhere in the Bible, but it does make a little sense there. The problem is you don't get out, as far as nobody's going to buy you out of that thing. You're going to get out for a moment, but guess what? You're going to go somewhere a lot worse. But here in Jude, it's not, and again, hell, where the worm dieth not. Does that make sense to anybody? Not me. I had some slugs around my bottom basement side of my house and poured some salt on them. That's always fun to do. Guess what? That slug, he died. Where the worm dieth not. That makes no sense to me. I've never seen that before. I can make it sound about as horrible as you want me to try to make it sound, but it don't make no sense to me. Or the fire. It's not quenched. Does that make any sense to you? I've been in a lot of fires. I've been in fires before where anybody that knows anything about fire helmets, them are some tough pieces of equipment. I've been in fires with guys that come out with our shields would be so hot that they curled up. That's pretty hot. But that ain't nothing compared to the heat of hell. What does it mean to say that somebody's lost? Look here in Jude, look, we're going to look at verse 13, but look at verse 11 first. Woe, the Bible says, unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding in themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of the winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. That sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? Verse 13, raging waves of sea foaming out of their own shame. Wandering stars. You know, nobody has shame nowadays. Very few people are ashamed. Today. It takes a lot to shame somebody nowadays. Isn't that amazing? Verse 13, raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars. Look at here. You ought to underline this. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? Now, lost. What does it mean to be lost? Here in Jude, we see a place that is reserved, the Bible says, the blackness of darkness forever. blackness of darkness forever. I had a guy I worked with one time off the cuff made a statement we all laughed at him pretty heavily. He says, black dark. You ever been anywhere in this black dark? I had to think about that. Black dark. You know, some places are darker than other places. But here's a place, the blackness of darkness forever. You ever dealt with anybody about going to hell? Hell, that'd be great, man. I'm going to go down there and be with all my buddies. We're going to party it up in hell. You know, hell is so black, dark, that you're going to be lost. That you don't, you know, lost is when you don't know where you are. Lost is when nobody else knows where you are. Is that not true? If you knew where you was at, you wouldn't be lost. Well, I know I'm on Highway 17 or Highway 50 or Highway this or Highway 77 and this. I know where I'm at. Guess what hell is? Or not hell, but look, guess what the second death is, the lake of fire. It's a preserved place, black darkness forever. You don't know where you are. Nobody else is going to know where you are. Now, I want you to think about this one. And when I say this, I want you to, don't lose money on this, but I really believe this. And I'll give you a verse here to show this, I believe. Lost. When a person is lost, when we say I was lost, I don't think we understand what that really means. I was so lost. I didn't know who I was. Nobody else knew who I was. And when you are cast into the lake of fire, you're going to be put into a place preserved into that black darkness forever. You won't know. There'll be nothing to touch. Nobody else will know where you're at. But this is the thought that this bumfuzzles me. That's a new word, terminology. God himself won't even know where you're at. Now, preacher, God knows everything. Does he? Then why does our choir sing about those sins? What sins are you talking about? Does God know everything? Y'all are looking real scared at me. I'm just trying to get you to think. Hell to a lake of fire, a place preserved, black darkness forever. If I was going to the lake of fire when I got there, I wouldn't even know where I was. Nobody else would know where I was to come find me. And God himself. What do you mean, preacher? Let me show you something. Look with me over in the book of Matthew. We use this verse a lot, and it just sort of rung a bell with me as I was thinking about this thought. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Lost. People are lost. There's lost people everywhere. But I want you to get a hold of what that really means. A prepared place, darkness, black dark is the terminology that the redneck up at Freightliner said. He didn't know what he was talking about when he was saying it, but I understood now. Forever. You ever read this verse? Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I thought God knew everybody. When they're put into that lake of fire, they're not going to know where they're at. Their friends ain't going to know where they're at. And God Himself is going to choose. I don't know you. You're not even in my thought. John chapter 3. I'm no longer under that condemnation. John 5, I've passed from death into life. But for you or somebody that might be lost, that condemnation abideth on them right now. Lost. Let me give you some ground here. Look in Isaiah with me. Isaiah 38, look with me. Again, the thought of what God can do and will do and has done. How can I sing the song of what sins are you talking about? Because of this, God does forget my sins. Verse 17 of Isaiah 38 says, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Isn't that victorious? Woo! But for somebody that might be sitting here tonight that's got religion, that's got self-righteousness, that's prideful and don't want to break that pride, you're lost. And you're going to end up in a lake of fire in a place prepared in pure darkness forever. You're not going to know. Nobody else is going to know. And God Himself chooses to not know you. It's amazing. Boy, it ought to break our hearts as tonight as children of God. Lost. Let me give you some things real quickly. Look at Matthew chapter 16, talking about the soul. Again, the body dies. It goes back to the ground. The spirit goes back to God. What about this soul? Well, the soul's everlasting. Just as much as I'm going to have everlasting life in heaven, a lost person will spend eternity in a lake of fire. Lost. Separated from God. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. What's the Bible saying? Verse 26 about this soul. Matthew 16, 26 says, "For what is a man profited if he has the biggest 401k, the biggest house, the nicest car, everything that man says he ought to have? Now the Bible says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world?" What does that mean? I don't know who the richest person in the world is. It's definitely nobody in here. But we can mark men as being rich and label them as the richest. But we're not saying if I compared to, who's the big computer guy that's got all the money? Bill Gates. They said if he dropped, I forgot now, if he dropped so many $100s on the ground, it wouldn't be worth his time to bend over and pick it up. He'd be losing money by bending over. That's a lot of money. Oh, I'd like to have what he had. That's not what God compared you to. God compared it to him and everybody else. Even my little 3 cents. He says, "What is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own what? Soul." See the importance of the soul? "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" How important is the soul to us tonight? Look at it. Look. I want to show you this. I'm running out of time. Luke chapter 16. Everybody knows these verses. I saw something today, though, that I thought was pretty neat. Everybody's heard this preached every which way but loose. Luke chapter 16, look at verse number 19. I like what I heard a preacher say one time, and you know, I've always, you know, I got to read my Bible. This is not a parable. And people say, that's not a parable because it has a name in it. You'll never find a name in a parable. And that's a true statement. But if it was a parable, this is what that preacher said. If it was a parable, and I don't believe it is, but if it was a parable, what do parables do? Parables for teaching. If this was a parable, and that's where people want to debate you at. They don't want to talk about what the verses say. If this was a parable, and Lazarus really wasn't a real person, and he was. But if it was just a parable, man wants to argue about it. It's just a parable. It don't matter. No, a parable was meant for a reason. What was the Lord teaching? Is that not the key of the whole thing? What are we trying to learn? What's God trying to show me? Well, God's showing us that there's an eternal price for your soul, either in a place called heaven or in a place called Lake of Fire. You're going to spend there forever. Look here at Luke chapter 16. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried. So we're talking about death. See, that's what we're looking at. Carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, the rich man also died and was buried. So we got two people that have died. We got a rich man and Lazarus. Both of them died. What happened to them? I worked with a man, right, years and years ago. He's dead now. I tried to witness to him. He said, when I die, I'm just going to push up daisies. No. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. Both these men are somewhere. Verse 22, and it came to pass the beggar died and was carried to the angels of Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Again, there is a passing. When his body died, the rich man and Lazarus, both of them's body decayed. The spirit went back to God. What are we talking about? We're talking about a soul. You know, there's a lot of people in the Bible died more than once. Sure there was. The Lord raised several people that died physically one time, two times. But when that soul dies that second death, there'll be nothing left. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham far off, Lazarus' bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, and this is what I saw today, Abraham said, Son, anybody get anything out of that? You see what the conversation is? Father Abraham. Abraham to the rich man, son. Let me make it a little bit clearer to you. Look in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, look at verse 26. Here the Lord speaking, says, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him.
Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Praise the Lord for that. Verse 33, they answered him, we be, look at it, we be Abraham's seed. And we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou ye shall be made free? Rich man dies. Lazarus dies. Lazarus goes to the bosom of Abraham. Now, there's a transitional place there. The cross hadn't come into sight yet. We know that when Jesus Christ dies, he goes to that place of Abraham's bosom and leads the captive free. That's that changing of the guard. But at this moment of Luke chapter 16, we see a rich man that dies and goes to where? Hell. We see Lazarus die. Where does he go? To the bosom of Abraham. There's a conversation between Lazarus, or between the rich man and Abraham. Father Abraham. Abraham speaks back to the rich man. Son. Here we just read in John chapter 8 their thought of, we be Abraham's seed, we've never been lost. It doesn't matter who you are, all have sinned. Abraham's seed, father, son. The relationship was still there, but he was in hell. See that? Oh, our children ain't going to get into heaven because of who I am or who you are. You're not going to get into heaven because of who your daddy was or who your mama was. Here's a rich man, Father Abraham, son. Didn't change the placement, did it? See it? Oh, how we ought to be burdened tonight, the thoughts of the souls of these young ones that stood upon this stage, the ones that sitting in the pews every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Souls! Hell is real. Look in Revelation chapter 6 real quickly. I ain't got time to finish this. Revelation chapter 6 this evening. Revelation chapter 6, look with me in verse number 9. It says, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for their testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, how holy and true dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? What's the problem? We're talking about souls. They're souls. We need to understand the reality of the need of the soul. Let's stop there this evening. I'll finish this up next time. It'll be a shorter night probably because I don't want to jump into another one probably until we finish this. But I want you to understand the thought of this second death. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 8, it talks about that second death. Think about that. And I want you to understand this. And this is how we'll close, and I'll say it again the next time. We, many times, look at somebody's flesh and make a judgment about who they are. I had an English teacher in high school. He was a hippie from old days. He rode a motorcycle to school every day. It didn't matter if it snowed, if it rained. He rode a motorcycle every day. Always wore a tie. Had a big old bushy afro-looking hairdo. Just a neat guy. He hitchhiked across the United States. He says, the way I did it, he says, I wore a three-piece suit every day. What was he saying? Now, I don't recommend picking up nobody. Not in this day and time. Unless you really, really know him. But if you were going to pick up somebody, Would you rather pick up somebody that looked like this in a three-piece suit? Not a two-piece, but a suit. Or some guy that looks like he just crawled out from under a rock? Who would you pick up? Let's be honest. We would have a tendency to what? To pick up the guy in a three-piece suit. And that's what this guy did. He hitchhiked all the way across the United States from coast to coast in a suit. He said he'd have a bit of trouble people picking him up. What's that got to do with anything? Why do we judge so many people by what we see with our eyes? All we see is the flesh. What happens to the flesh? Every one of us, his flesh does the same thing. It dies and decays. Why do we always want to be around people with what we think or what we call a familiar spirit? Now, I believe with all my heart that a saved person, our spirits do connect. I understand that. But if somebody's acting a little bit different than what we act, we think, where'd that Fruit Loop fall out of the box at? He's not like me. He's different. He's weird. What are you doing? You're making a judgment call by their spirit. What happens to the spirit? Spirit, my spirit, his spirit, all spirits go back to the Lord. That's who they belong to. Why don't we ask God to help us quit looking at what their flesh might look like and what their spirit might act like and realize tonight there's a soul in every one of us that's going to spend eternity somewhere. We should be soul watchers, not flesh watchers, not spirit watchers, soul watchers. We'll see more about the second death the next time. It's an amazing book. It really is. Let's stand together this evening. You might be here tonight and God's been speaking to you. Your soul is not ready.